And take your Bible and go to Peter, 2 Peter. And we have a lot to get through here. But it is a beautiful day, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. So let's go on over to 2 Peter 3. If you find it, you're able to stand. We'll read one verse. Verse 18, 2 Peter 3, 18. I do hope you had a great Thanksgiving. You know, we ought to give thanks every day, shouldn't we? Every day ought to be Thanksgiving. I'd be okay if we had turkey just about every day. I love it that much, and he's right. I can't think of a Thanksgiving in all these years that turkey turned out that good. It was so good. I hurt myself, really, eating so much of that turkey, but it was good. All right, 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's read it out loud together, just one verse. Ready? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do need you, Lord, to grow, and we know we'll not have the victory except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray you bless the class today. Thank you for all that's been done, the victories we've seen, the answers to prayer. And Lord, just do what we cannot do, and that is speak to every heart here. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, all right, you may be seated. We need that grace. Thank God for his amazing grace. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 15. This would be the resurrection chapter. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Some religions, like the Mormons, take this baptism for the dead out of context. They baptize for the dead, the Mormons do, by proxy. In other words, they can be baptized for their uncle to try to get him out of punishment or whatever. It doesn't work that way, folks. There's many a Mormon who've been baptized 100 times because they're trying to baptize for others by proxy. They believe in what's called the baptism for the dead. You'll find that phrase in 1 Corinthians 15, but they take it out of context because we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? In 1 Corinthians 15. But I would invite your attention to verse 57 and 58. When you get it, say amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word vain means empty or for nothing. So today we're talking about our daily walk. I was speaking to a brother this morning before Sunday school, and he said, you know, if I don't have my Bible time and my prayer time, I'm just finished. I can't make it. He said, I cannot make it without my time with the Lord. And that's so true. Christianity is a relationship with a real person and a real Savior. You can't be saved unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need to trust in Him for salvation, Him alone. But you need that relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus into your heart and life. Every Christian needs a daily walk with your Lord. You need to be saved first. Then you need to walk with Him and talk with Him, right? You need that relationship maintained by communication. You just can't make it without it. This is where the real battleground is. The difference between victory or defeat will be decided by your daily walk. My daily walk. We all need it. And so growth, just like physically, the more we eat and feed, the more we gain weight, right? Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie, and such as that, we eat. And God wants us to eat. If you don't eat, you will die. I don't know how long it is you can go without food. I know my dear mother, she went without food or drink for 13 days, and then she died. My dad went without food or drink for 4 days, and he passed away. You can go without food, I think. You can go longer with water than you can food. You can fast. You know, your body can fast, and that's a Bible principle, and it's good for you to fast, but you can't go very long without water. Amen? So, and spiritually speaking, we have the water of the Word, amen, and we have God's holy Word, which every word of God is pure. And without feasting and feeding upon the Bible, you'll dwindle in your spiritual life, and you won't make it. So it can't be underestimated. You need to be in this book, and you need to have prayer every day. Do you do that for your spiritual growth? In Bible study, God talks to us. In prayer, we talk to God, and we need both. Amen. Now, when should we walk with God? I put in my notes constantly. The Bible says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. But you need a time, brother and sister, you need a time and a place, a definite time and place that you go. Is it your man cave? Or your woman cave? You say, what is that? A place where you can get alone with God, in your closet, wherever it might be, but you do need a place. We should continue to walk with God. And I want to show you some verses from the Bible. If you'll go to Joshua 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 1. And you can always get better in your daily walk. Don't think, well, I've been plowing with the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord my whole life. Well, it can get sweeter as the days go by. So, Joshua chapter 1. Bless you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein what? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so, you know something about the Word of God, it was inspired of God. You can read something 10 years later, read it, and you get all new. God can speak to you again, and it's afresh, amen? It doesn't give out, and so that's what I mean. We need to keep walking with the Lord. Now, if you go to the left to Deuteronomy, one book to the left, Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's pretty much all the time, isn't it? Hey, I said your walk with God should be constantly, but look what he says in verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And so that's why I like scripture in our house. I like it on our wall. I like it on our wall right here. Hey, if somebody comes in, they see this, they may get saved. They may see that, and that's what I'm looking for. Everything's changing in my life. But hey, there's one that doesn't change. Or over here, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I like scripture in the house. I like it in God's house. And so I like people to see it. And, you know, the devil seems to fight that, doesn't it? When we're with our children or grandchildren, I mean, conversations come up. And sometimes it's like you're rowing upstream. Can I get a witness right there? But we need to ask them, you know, how's your walk with the Lord? Ask them questions like, how's the Lord speaking to your heart? What's the Lord teaching you? And then, you know, we need to do a better job of that's what I'm trying to say. We can all do better. When's your walk with the Lord? Talk about it. I won't have you turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, and there's a lot of great things we need to take heed to in 1 Thessalonians 5, but one is pray without ceasing. Another one is despise not prophesying. So we need preaching, don't we? You need to come to the house of the Lord. You need teaching and preaching. You need to have your Bible, and you need to open it. And Lord, speak to me today. Now, do you have a set time? Go over to Daniel, all the way in the Old Testament here. Ezekiel, Daniel. He had a set time. I don't think there's any wrong time to pray. We need to keep our Bibles close to us so he can speak to us. My dad, of course, we were from Kentucky. I was born in Kentucky. I moved to Florida when I was a young boy. But Kentucky, if you know anything about Kentucky, it's a big basketball state. I mean, they bleed blue. Those Wildcats, you know. You go over to Jeremy Sharon's, and when there's a game on, I remember Jeremy and Jessica inviting us over, and they all dressed in blue. UK Wildcats. Even little kids had a little blue on, you know. And they're Wildcat fans, being from Kentucky. But as a Christian, we need to be Bible fans. Amen. Do we hold it near? My daddy told me this, because he was a great basketball player. He actually played in Rupp Arena in some of the championships. He was a point guard. I mean, he was scrappy in the newspaper and all of that. But he said, son, if you want to be good with something, he said, then you need to go to bed with your basketball, go to the shower with your basketball, sleep, you know, just go to the table with you. I guess mama would say, put it on the table, you know, until we finish eating. But, you know, you need to be familiar with it. You need to, the point is this: love it, cherish it, keep it on you. Can you imagine a preacher coming to the pulpit without a Bible? I guess some of them do now electronically, or I guess, but they, what if you hit a wrong button? What if your battery goes dead? What if the lights go out? I mean, you need to have in his chamber toward Jerusalem. What did he do? He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Has anybody that you love ever caught you on your knees? That's a precious thing, isn't it? I've been caught like that. I'm not bragging about it, but, you know, it's a good thing that we are caught, right? Praying, reading our Bible, Grandpa reading his Bible, Grandpa praying. I think that's a good testimony, and Daniel had that testimony over in Acts 17. Go there. Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts 17. Acts 17. When your loved ones or neighbors, and you're not trying to be proud or anything, but they know, Amberly, when you're a praying woman, you're a woman of God, or a man of God, and they know you're a person of prayer, guess what? When they get in trouble, they'll knock on your door and they'll come, can you pray for me? And maybe it'll give you opportunity to lead them to the Lord. So in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Key word I wanted to show you that is daily. You need your own Bible. You need a Bible you can bring to church. And you can search it daily. I went up to see Jim on Thanksgiving before we went and got into that good turkey, Larry. And he was up there. And you know what I love about Jim Gray? He wasn't concerned about himself. He said, pray. You see, Pastor, you see that name up on that board? They have the white board, you know, that you're looking at in your hospital bed there. And it was a nurse that was on the night shift. I forget her name, but he said, pray for her. I witnessed to her. She didn't get saved, but she thinks her baptism's going to get her to heaven. And we did pray. But, you know, he wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about souls that had worked on him through the night that he was witnessing to, had tracks there on his little table. I tell you, what a man. What a man of God. Amen. A spiritual man that's concerned about the souls of men. Set your time. It may be early. How many of you have an early walk with the Lord or an early time with the Lord? Raise your hand if you have that. There you go. That's best for you, and that's good. Some people can't even talk or see straight in the early morning. They don't do good until at night. And if that's your case, where you're the freshest and the best at night and you can get away undisturbed, then do it. Do it at night. Or do it in the noon. And whenever you can, maybe on a lunch break, an undisturbed lunch break. Maybe when the family goes to bed. I'm not sure when the best time for you. I think everybody's different, don't you? For me, it's a good time early. I tell you what, it's like the best part of the day. You get a hot cup of coffee, black coffee, amen. And I go to the man cave. I go to the garage. I got a little rocking chair out there and a little mat there. Flip the light. Yeah. Some sweet time with Jesus, walking with him, letting him speak to me, and I'm talking to him. Set your time. When is it? Don't get out of here this morning without a decision or determination. I'm going to start walking with the Lord. You'll be surprised. You know, we have not because we ask not, right? And we need to ask him for things. Don't complain because God wants to give us things. How do I walk with God? How do I walk with God? Ask the Lord to help you. Go to that little book. Now, you're going to have trouble. If you're like me, maybe not. Habakkuk. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. If you see Jonah, Micah, Nahum, it's right after Nahum. There's Micah. In the Old Testament, toward the end, Habakkuk 2, chapter 2. You say, I can't find these. It's okay. Just keep working at it. And you'll get better and better with the Lord's help. Habakkuk chapter 2, and I want to look at verse 1. I'll give you a minute. Bible says be patient, right? Amen. I'm trying to be patient. Y'all be patient with me. I'll be patient with you. Okay. Habakkuk has some people found it. Say amen. Look at verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Habakkuk 2. I'll read it again. Habakkuk 2. I think that's where I'm at, right? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. We want the Lord to speak to us and answer us. Now some basic things. And I won't have you turn there. This is something that we all ought to do. And sometimes we forget, but in Psalms 119:18, I'll read it. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I think before we get into the Bible, ask the Lord to speak to us and help us, right? Open our heart and our eyes, and he will. And so when you read your Bible, start with that. Here's another thing. You can take notes. I see some of you taking notes all the time. You take notes. I think that's good, because when we write it down, and the best way to learn is repetitious. And so you write it down, you hear it, and you can go back at night. Oftentimes I'll do that at the end of the day on the Lord's Day, and I'll look at some notes and things and let the Lord speak to you. So it's good to take notes. It's good to mark your Bible. Some people don't like that. You say, well, I like to keep my Bible perfect, and that's fine, but maybe have a Bible, an older Bible, that you do mark up. Now, when you mark, let me caution you, use the right pen or highlighter. Some of them bleed through, and you don't want that. They do have the right kinds of pencils or mark highlighters, and so make sure you get the ones that don't bleed through. But if you want to keep the other Bible, you know, without anything in it, I know some preachers that have two or whatever, but just make sure that you're in it and you're marking it. And cherish your Bible. Cherish your Bible. You should never throw it up on the dashboard, because it'll burn up, man. It'll hurt it. And you should not, you shouldn't have to pick up your Bible and open it, blow it, and dust comes off of it, okay? But you're supposed to use it. You say, well, my Bible's falling apart. Well, that most of the time it means you're not, okay? If you're in it where it's getting used. And I've got my grandfather's Bible, pass them down. My dad's Bible, my mom's Bible. I still have my mom's Bible. So many I've passed down. My children, they got so many that they probably don't want any more of our Bibles. But the thing is, pass it down. Just don't throw it in a dumpster. Can I get a witness? Give it to the Goodwill or something. Maybe somebody will get it and use it or something. But cherish your Bible and resolve to obey the Bible. Amen. You can always ask questions. Some of the older women and men in the church, I mean, it is the responsibility of the older women to teach the younger women, and also older Christians, older men. If you have a question, go to them and ask the question. Come to your pastor. I've got an open door. You can come. I love when people ask questions. And I may not know the answer right off, but I know where to get it. Amen. If it's in there, I'll try to find it for you and answer the question. But you can get in the Bible. And so these are some of the things. When it comes to prayer, go to Matthew chapter 6. The brother said, I just can't live without it. I wouldn't have any victory or defeat. And that's a true statement. There's another brother back here. I won't embarrass, but he's got bracelets on his arm, and it's got scripture verse on it. He says it's around my neck too. You know, he's got scripture everywhere he goes. Scripture. And so it's good. I used to have a little Bible. I had the world's smallest Bible. It was on a chip. It was on a little clear piece, and I always kept it in my billfold, because I could say I've always got the Word of God on my billfold. It was just one little clear chip. Couldn't read it, couldn't do anything with it, but hey, there's power in the Word of God. Amen. So are you in Matthew? Let's talk about prayer a little bit. Prayer. Oh, how we need it. Pray one for another. Matthew 6, 5 through 7. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I've always taught and preached in my ministry, there is a place for corporate prayer. What I mean by that is there's a place when we assemble. You can find it in the scripture that it is biblical. When they assembled back in Nehemiah's day, and those old prophets, they prayed in the house of God. I'm not opposed to prayer in the church house out loud, but I think we really don't have much business praying out loud in public if we've not been with the Lord in private. Private prayer, to me, is so important, more so than public prayer. Jesus called them out. They wanted to see, I be seen of men. They were hypocrites. Verse 6, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast what? Yeah. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Really back to that verse in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And I've told you this before. You just can't pray in a bad place. When I wake up in the morning, what I do, maybe it'll help you. Maybe you can't do it. But before I even get out of bed, Brother Mark, I like to just talk to the Lord a little bit while I'm in bed. You can pray in bed. Can I get a witness? Just talk to him. Kathy's snoring, sound asleep. I'm talking to him. And then when I roll out of bed, I like to just roll out on my knees. That's what I do. Our bed's not too high. It used to be in the country, we had these high beds. You couldn't do that. You'd break a leg or something. But if your bed's not too low, just roll out and then talk to the Lord. And normally what I do right then is I know I'm getting ready to go in the kitchen, get my coffee, and get woke up a little bit, and then go to read my Bible. That's when, Joshua, I say, Lord, now speak to me. I like to thank him first. I think we should all thank the Lord, adore him. There's an acronym, if you know how ACTS is spelled in the New Testament, A-C-T-S, ACTS. Acts and adoration. You adore the Lord. I think it's something that it's a short word. You can remember that acronym. Just start off by adoring him. You're not asking for anything, really. You just thank you, Lord. Lord, I love you and I praise you. You're worthy and to be adored and to be extolled. And then C, anybody have an idea what that might be in this little acronym? See, confess. Did somebody say confess? There it is. Yeah, there's so much things that the old devil brings up. We need to be, not for salvation's sake, but just keeping a clean slate, right? Once you get saved, it's over. He died on the cross once. You get saved once. But if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from? Yeah, that's 1 John 1:8-9. And be honest with God. Agree with him. That word confess means agree with him. Lord, you're right. He's always right. He's righteous. What's righteous mean? Right. He's always right. And most of the time, we're wrong, right? And we just need to confess that and say, Lord, I was wrong here. I was wrong there. And I agree with you. And so that'll go a long way in your prayer life. So adore, confess, and then T is thanksgiving. And we can't thank him enough. You'll be thanking him until you go up in the with the Lord in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. You'll be thanking him, Lord. You know, Lester Roloff, my favorite preacher of all time, he died in a plane crash. And what a man of God. What a real man of God. God used him greatly. But he died. The wings got broke off. And he had a singing group with him. Does anybody remember that? The girls that were singing, he was traveling. He traveled every day out of the year, just about. He went to prison for the Lord's work. Orphanages and homes for men. He had the City of Refuge. He had the girl's home. He had out on the intercoastal there in Corpus Christi. He had an old place out there right on the water. It was for the men, the lighthouse, you know, drunkards, dope addicts. He'd bring them in. Vince even went there, and boy, it changed his life. But that was Lester Roloff's ministry. But when that storm hit, both wings went off, the last words of evangelist Lester Roloff when his plane was going down, "Thank you, Lord." That was his last words. What a man of God. And we need to have his praise and his thanksgiving continually on our lips. Supplications. Go to Ephesians. I'm almost done. Go to Ephesians. In the New Testament. I've often wondered when getting on an airplane. And you don't have to be a pastor or preacher to open your Bible on the airplane. Amen. Is anybody breathing? You can pull that tray down, put your Bible right there. I don't know, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, but I don't know that I'd pull one of these out and give to your neighbor. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? The smiley might be a little better. But I've often wondered, Brother John, if I knew that plane was going down, and I thought it was going down in India, don't ever fly Air India. I'll repeat that again. Don't ever fly Air India. I looked out and the rivets were coming out of the wings. True story. I got on there and all I could smell was curry, and when I saw all the seats ripped open, I said, we need to start praying right here, right now. But I've often wondered, if I knew the plane was going down, would I stand up, brother? Would I stand up and say, get saved now? Now, those are times you wish you had a voice like Brother Jackson. I mean, when the oxygen masks are dropping down and things are spiraling, and the wind, get saved! Trust Jesus! I mean, would I do that? I hope I would. Hope I'd have the courage to do it. Supplications. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Supplication, praying for things. So acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You can keep a prayer list. How many of you keep a prayer list? Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand if you keep a prayer list. There's few, and that's good. I'm not against prayer list, and that helps people a lot of times. To remember, when we come back for Wednesday night prayer meeting, we write things down and we pray as a church. But I think it's good. How many of you say, I believe in the Great Commission found in the Bible? Say amen right there. It's in there. Not just once. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. In Mark chapter 16. Hey, in Matthew 28, go ye and teach all nations. Go ye and teach all nations. He that goeth forth goeth forth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'm not a Calvinist, folks. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He gave his son for everybody, amen? Not just a selected few. Not just a selected few. He died for you. He died for me. And the Bible's clear about salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name. For whosoever, that's a good word, right? There's far too many whosoever wills in the Bible to be a Calvinist. There's far too many whosoever wills. I remember one visit we made, my wife and I, and it was over on base over here. And I went in. They had come visit our church. They call them other names, you know, Reformed theology. A lot of Southern Baptists are Calvinists in their teaching. Sovereign grace, Reformed theology and all of this. But we went in and we were just talking, having a good time. I said, well, brother, where were you saved? When were you saved? When did you call on Jesus? Can't tell you. What? I'm saved, but I can't tell you. Well, tell me about it. This is what he said. My wife's right there as a witness. I came into the church, and a sermon was given. It was over, and we walked out of the church. Poof. That was his very word. Poof. I was saved. I said, you never asked Jesus to forgive you, repent, or you weren't convicted of your sin. You didn't confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You didn't do it. No, he said, poof, I was saved. When was it? I don't know. Just poof. I just walked out and I was saved. I was sitting in the Abuelo's Mexican restaurant with a woman you would highly respect, and say, that's a woman of God there. And I asked her very simply. We talked to the husband. He had a relationship with Jesus. He had a time in his life where he had trusted Christ as his Savior. He could go back to that. I turned to his wife. We were eating the chips and the hot sauce. I love their hot sauce, by the way. I love their medium and their pineapple mixed. Amen. Let's get off of that right now. But I turned to the wife and I said, when did you get saved? She said, I've been saved all my life. That's what she told us. Oh, yeah, I was saved all my life. I was taken to church. A little girl, can you go back to a place where you understood what Jesus did? No, just saved all my life. True story. See, you need to be able to go back to a time in your life when you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Now, we don't save ourselves, that's for sure. But Jesus is the only one that can save you. But it's like the Great Commission. You know why Calvinists don't believe in missions conferences? Because whoever's going to get saved is going to get saved anyway. They don't believe in tracts so much and going soul winning and all of that, because it's the elect and the only the elect. They believe what's called. Well, I believe God knows who all the people are that's going to get saved, but he wants everybody to be elected to be saved, and he's predestined no one to hell. God hasn't predestined anybody to hell. I'm talking Bible right now, church. You may be the only Bible or witness that neighbor sees. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. But I believe in the Great Commission, and I believe God uses his children to fulfill that and to pass out tracts and to witness. We don't have a subway, but if you had a subway on the subway, I guess they do have some over in Tempe, they have the little rail things, but God uses. I went to a home yesterday, and there was a Mexican man next door we visited, and right next door he was under his truck fixing it, had on his license tag, Sonora. I believe he's from Sonora, Mexico. One of the nicest, gentlest men that he came out from his truck. I said, no, habla espanol. He said, no speak English. But come to find out, he spoke more English than you would think. I went back to my truck. We have tracks in Spanish. We have them back here. You can get them. And he was so happy to get that. And you start talking about heaven, Cielo, and Jesus in your quarter zone, you know, and you can go to Cielo. And but I gave him that gospel track. He was so happy to get it, so thankful to get it. You know what? That may be the only time he ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I want to take one of our Mexican missionaries back there and witness to that man if he's still here. I think he was a little scared. I don't know. He may have been totally legal and honest. I didn't care anything about that. I just wanted to give him the gospel. Amen. But he said, no ICE agent. No ICE agent. He got this. He communicated this. He said, you know, I visit. I have family here, and I go back and forth and visit. But friends, that man needs Jesus too. Do you believe in the Great Commission? That we are called to the Great Commission? Can I ask you this? Would you pray that God would help us to fulfill the Great Commission, to be laborers together right up here with God, by praying, by staying faithful, through giving to missions? To me, when you give to missions, it's so unselfish, and it gets our eyes off of our self. Talking about praying, talking about a walk with God. Listen, my wife and I had something happen this week. We got a phone call, and we've been praying for years and years. Don't quit praying, church. Amen. I hope you believe that. Don't quit praying. Don't quit digging through this blessed book, walking with the Lord, because we prayed and God did a miracle. Say, what's all that about? I'm just saying that we haven't seen a prayer answered in this fashion with this person in a long time. And you know what? God can still answer prayer. You know, when he answers some of those, we got to quit. Those prayers that you've been praying for a long time, you can't help but thank him. You can't help but get down on your knees and say, Lord, you did a miracle. So today's lesson, walking with God, your daily walk. Oh, don't forget this, and I'm done. Listen, your number one priority as a Christian. Well, it's my wife. No, it's not. She's number two. It's my husband. No, he's number two. You can't really help your wife or your children or anybody else unless you're walking with God. You can't make those decisions. Your walk with God determines victory or defeat. Let's stand.